Lyndon Johnson seems an odd choice for liberalism's deliverer. Then again, he was no one's choice. An assassin's bullet anointed him to the job. Still, it's not as if he hadn't prepared for it. Amazingly, Johnson was the only full-fledged New Dealer to serve as president, save FDR himself. Indeed, in many respects, LBJ was the ultimate company man of the modern welfare state, the personification of everything the New Deal represented. Despite his large personality, he was in reality the personification of the system he helped to create. From the beginning, FDR took a shine to LBJ. He told Harold Ickes that Johnson might well be the first Southern president of the post-war generation. Johnson was a fanatically loyal FDR man. As a congressional aide, he threatened to resign more than once when his boss contemplated voting contrary to Roosevelt. In 1935, he was the head of the Texas branch of the National Youth Administration, winning the attention of the future Speaker of the House, Sam Rayburn, and singling himself out as a star among the young New Dealers. In 1937, at the age of 28, he was elected to represent Texas's 10th District. He caught FDR's attention while the president was in Texas, where they met and spent considerable time together. When FDR returned to Washington, he called his aide Thomas Corcoran and informed him, "I've just met the most remarkable young man. Now I like this boy, and you're going to help him with anything you can." FDR became Johnson's political daddy, in Johnson's own words, and more than any other elected official, LBJ mastered the art of working the New Deal. Johnson brought a staggering amount of pork to his constituents in his first year alone. "He got more projects and more money for his district than anybody else," Corcoran recalled. "He was the best congressman for a district that ever was." However, once elected, Johnson didn't brag about his support for the New Deal. He learned from the defeat of the Texas congressman Murray Maverick that getting praise from East Coast liberals didn't help you much in Texas. When he heard that the New Republic was going to profile him, along with other influential New Deal congressmen, LBJ panicked. He called a friend at the International Labor Organization and implored her, "You must have some friend in the labor movement. Can't you call him and have him denounce me? If they put out that I'm a liberal hero up here, I'll get killed. You've got to find somebody to denounce me." When he became president in his own right, he no longer had to keep his true feelings secret. He could finally and unabashedly come out of the closet as a liberal. JFK's death, meanwhile, was the perfect psychological crisis for liberalism's new phase.